We're almost at the end of the series we've been working through about the various aspects of our church culture. And today we have being a loving community. The problem with this subject is that love is really the sum total of all the other things we've examined. We've rather analysed love into its components, and now we're sticking it all back together again. So please forgive me if there is a degree of repetition from what we've said in the last few weeks. I think of Christian love as behaviour rather than just feelings and emotions. Because to love someone is to act towards them to promote their greatest welfare and blessing. It may or may not include having feelings of fondness towards them. It is primarily a behaviour pattern. Of course, in everyday speech, we tend to suggest the opposite. I really love you is one of my most often spoken sentences to my grandchildren. They're the people, or with all my family, with whom I have the deepest feelings of affection and devoted commitment. Then in the next sentence, I say, I really love salted caramel sauce. We all understand the difference between these two declarations, but nevertheless, we need to make clear what we mean when we, quote, love our brothers and sisters in Christ, or love our neighbours as ourselves, or love the institution of our church. The meaning changes with the context. A well-known politician, or shall remain nameless, told this story. Whilst he was Prime Minister, he was approached round about October time by a popular magazine looking for a new angle on Christmas for their centre spread and was asked, what would you like for Christmas? Wishing to appear neither greedy nor more affluent than many people in the country, he answered, I'd like a nice tie, perhaps even a silk one. When the magazine was published nearer Christmas, the article reported the Christmas wishes of a number of prominent people. The leader of the opposition wanted an end to austerity. The President of the United States wanted an end to the hostilities in Afghanistan. The director of UNICEF wanted a vaccine against HIV. And the Prime Minister of the UK would like a nice tie, perhaps even a silk one. If only they had made the context clearer. So in this context, our nature as a community, love is not trivial, fleeting, or inconsequential. It is our guiding motive. It's our goal. It's about actions and attitudes. It's costly and demanding. It is willingly given because it has been gratefully received. I do believe it begins with attitude, not likes and preferences. Jesus didn't die for me because he likes me, but because his whole attitude towards me is one of committed care and love. I'm one of his sheep, needing guidance and sometimes rescue as he meets my needs. He accepts me unconditionally. He knows me intimately. He loves me tenderly. So in our human relationships, can we apply some of those ideas? We need to ask Jesus to help us see other people as requiring our committed care. And here we have the parable of the Good Samaritan in our minds. To whom must I show this care? Whoever God puts in my path when they're in need. I don't have to know them. I don't have to be introduced. I found that God often brings people into my life and gives me a sense that they need me to notice them and respond to them. It could be a total stranger walking down the street or somebody on a commuter train or queuing up in Tesco's. But in the context of this series of preaching topics, it may be the person you've happened to sit next to this evening. Loving people are observant. They notice how others are displaying various emotions and try to respond if appropriate. Yes, we may sometimes get an abrupt response, but so what? It costs nothing to speak to someone and ask them if they're okay. Would they like some help? Are they lost? Loving people take risks to be good to others. And I'm not suggesting we be irresponsibly stupid, running into obvious dangerous situations without thinking, but are willing to take calculated risks in trying to be loving, caring ambassadors for Christ. Indeed, as a church, we have a policy on safeguarding. That means maintaining the safety of others and doing it in a safe way for ourselves. Because loving behaviour isn't the result of just a sudden whim or a rush of emotion in a situation. It's a whole way of thinking and being that promotes the welfare of others in a thought-through way. Loving people put themselves out for the sake of others and are sometimes asked to sacrifice something of theirs for the benefit of others. Loving people show patience and empathy to the sorrowful, encouragement to the disheartened, offer wise suggestions to those who've lost their way, and speak truth when asked to those who may not want to hear it. Loving people are kind and gentle to the vulnerable and fragile. Loving people are accepting of those who are difficult to accept. And before that sounds judgmental, remember, I might be the unacceptable one. Loving people weep with those that weep and laugh with those that rejoice. And that in itself is an enormously emotionally draining and costly thing to do sometimes. Loving people make themselves available when they really want to spend the evening watching TV. Of course, these are most demanding standards of behaviour, and by definition, we cannot do it all on our own. But our corporate calling is to be Christ's hands and feet and heart in the world, starting in Ashdod. And why? Because God in Christ did all of those things out of love for us, and our Christian discipleship is about becoming more like him, having his mind, as we heard read. Thinking of the accounts of Jesus' life, remember how observant he was of the woman he met at a well, of another woman with chronic illness who was too scared to speak to him, merely touching the hem of his clothes. People came to his notice and he responded to them where and how they were. Jesus had friends with whom he laughed and made jokes and then wept when they died. Jesus took risks, just as his heavenly Father had taken risks in sending him to us in the first place. And he made himself available and vulnerable. And in the end, he gave up everything he had and was for us. You may have identified with some of the things I've suggested, but not others. But even if we start to look out for just some of these things, which may be new ideas to us, then it's one step further on in our individual discipleship. But what's more, collectively, we become a more loving community even than that. We don't all have the same gifts, but put us all together and we support each other's efforts to love and care. We multiply their effects. Jesus gave us only two commandments during his life on earth. They were given on the same occasion, the evening before he died. One is recorded in three of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. He told them to take and eat bread and wine, which he described as his body and blood. Only in Luke does it specify, do this in remembrance of me. The other command is recorded in John's Gospel on the same occasion, the night before he died, when he commanded us to love one another. The taking of bread and wine is easier in that it's an action. Loving one another is more difficult because, though it's seen through our actions, it is a constant way of being and difficult to quantify. And it's attitudinal, as we've seen. But I think these two commands have a commonality. As we love one another, so we willingly come together to share bread and wine as we remember Jesus. And as we share bread and wine, we look around and see each other and accept that we are mutually committed to each other and to loving each other. By this we will be known that we love one another. Is this happening? Well, yes, I've seen and received so many examples of practical, sometimes financial help, tender emotional support, shared joy in community. But as in all of these topics that we've looked at, let's not be complacent. There's a world out there that we haven't even met, let alone some of the Christians in this church that we don't yet know properly. Let's concentrate on that observation which leads to a response of caring support and a shared life of faith that brings joy to the heart of God. Would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, sometimes it is so difficult to love in response to unkindness, injury, cruelty, or neglect. But you know our hearts and feelings. Please help us as individuals to meet your challenge to love one another. And together, Lord, help us to cover for our individual weaknesses and be the loving community that cares and acts in compassion. And we ask this for Jesus' sake, who embodied your love for us. Amen.